The Mishnah at the end of the Sefer Talmud tells us, Omar Rabbim Shimon ben Gamliel, Loi Holu Yomim Toivim Yisrael, the Chamisha of the Lord of Yom HaKippurim. There were no greater happy days of celebration than Chamisha of the Ba'av and Yom HaKippurim. Shabohem B'nai Yisrael Yotis B'chlei Lavon, Shavuot. In those days, the B'nai Yisrael Yerushalayim went out wearing white garments which had to be borrowed, Shloi Levai Yisrael Shmi Chaynoi, in order not to embarrass people who haven't got these white spots. Kol Hakeim Turim Tzvila, and every one of these garments had to be titled, even though it was soiled, for the same reason, because obviously people don't like to say, my garment is tome, you have to toil it. So the rule was, all garments have to be soiled. And then the Mishnah goes on, what these young ladies said reminds me, many years ago I was a teacher in the Beit Yaakov Seminary in Stamford Hill, and I was asked to address the young ladies at the end of term. So I told them, I'll start off by misquoting Imam Chazal. That made them look up, misquoting Imam Chazal, yes. The Gemara says, Noshim Zarkon Kalas, which means the only thing they think of is becoming a Kalas. Quotation. Anyway, the Mishnah carries on and says, V'chein ho'aymah, Tse'eno reino v'noist tzion b'melech shreinoit, go out and see you v'noist tzion b'melech shreinoit, v'atoro shitkolo imoit, the crown which his mother gave him, v'yoyim chasunosoy yem tzimchas riboy, one crown of v'yoyim chasunosoy, and the other was the Yoim Simchas Livoi. Now, Imoi here is a reference to Klal Yisrael. And what were these 2 days? The Yoim Chasunosoi, the Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma, that was, so to speak, a crown for the Ribono Shel Olam. We crowned him as Melech Olam by this statement of Na'aseh v'nishma. Beyond Simchas Livoi, the opinion Beit Hamikdash, the one of them hail of Yomim. The Gemara tells us that Shlomo HaMelech finished the construction of the Beit Hamikdash on the 7th of Tishri, and then they celebrated the Chanukah Tabayis for 7 consecutive days, and there was this debate amongst the Chachomim, whether they can or cannot eat on Yom Kippur to celebrate the Chanukah Habayis. And the conclusion was, yes, they may, and everybody ate on Yom Kippur that day. Often with the mob. That's Tetzel Medalek in Moed Kotten. Mamesha Chachmah says that the wonderful remnant in the Torah to this particular day. Because in Sefer Emor we have the dinim of Yom HaKippurim. On Yom Kippur there are 2 things you may not do. You may not eat and you may not do malacha. And the Torah says quite clearly, the issa of malacha is chukas oilam ladoi roi secha. But when it comes to Inui, it does not say L'Doi Roi Seichem. Because when the Torah was given, the Rabbani from you, there will be a time when Yom Kippur is not observed vis-a-vis Inui. Of course, they weren't allowed to do any malacha. They were celebrating the Chanukah Habayis, so you can't celebrate without eating. But work has nothing to do with it. So that Yom Kippur, they weren't allowed to work, they were allowed to eat. And that is why it says L'Doi Roi Seichem with the malacha and not with him. Now, the Gemara says, that it's obvious that Yom HaKippurim is a day of celebration. Nothing can bring greater joy to a person than the news HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven him all his aveiros, and therefore, of course, there's every reason to celebrate. But what about the celebration of Hamisha Asar B'Av? What was so special about it? So the Gemara has a stream of answers to this question. The first is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvotim Lovoi Zeh B'Zeh. That is the day when they lifted the ban of marriages of girls who yarshin their father because they had no brother, of marrying anybody but a member of their own tribe. My Dorush, Zeh Hadavar Sheziv Hashem Yivnois Tzelofa. This was the halacha for the generation of the Yivnois Tzelofa. Dovah Zeh Lo Yehei Nohuk Elo Vilai Zeh. And when did the doyer of Yerusha Oretz finish? Chazal in their great wisdom decided Hamisha Asar B'Av. Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Nachman, Yom Shehut Hashem Din Yomim Lovay Vakohar. That's the day when the ban on allowing your daughter to marry a man from the Yom was lifted. Shema, that's the very sad, tragic story of the Kelech Megiddo. The issue is for Nishbah, the Mitzvah, Lema, and all the men of Yisrael swore when they were in this place called Mitzvah, Ish Mimenu Loitin Bitoy Levin Yomin Isha. We will not allow our daughter to marry a man of the Yomin. My Dorush Omrav Mimenu Goloid Beneinu. We have this ban, we won't do it, but there's nothing against our next generation doing it. And as we said, generations begin and end on Chamish Osabah. Rather bar bar hona on of Yechnon, Yom Shekolu boy may say midbar. There was a gzeira against the Zohar of the Meraglim that they will not enter to soil and they would all die before the end of the 40 years wandering. And Rashi quotes the Midrash that they used to dig their own graves on Tisha B'Av night, and they went to sleep in their graves, and those who were still awake got out, and those who weren't, they shoveled the desert sand, and that was that. Now, the Gemara comes to tell us that those who were destined to die on the last Tisha B'Av were reprieved. And when they all 15,000 of them, woke up in the morning of the 10th, they said, hey, what's this? Ah, we must have miscalculated the calendar. There was no Kiddush Levon in those days because a cloud over the Machne obscured the moon. So they repeated the photo the next night and all 15,000 woke up the next morning. Anyway, when it came to the 15th, then the penny dropped. They realized the last batch had been reprieved. So yes, they celebrated.
Maybe they have picked up 15,000.
15,000 is 600,000 divided by 40. Well, that's what it's, yeah. It says that they died the nearest to their 60th birthday. So those who were sick near the 60th at the time when Razin died the first year, the next batch died the year after. So it works out roughly 15,000. Forgive me, I haven't brought my calculator with me.
Here,
no, it's all right. Now, next reason. Other Abadar of Akonam Royashna. Yoin Shakolu by Mesei Midol. Omarav, Ad Shalai Kolovate Midol Ahonu Kibur in Moshe. Before the last one of the Mesei Midol died, there was no Dibur to Moshe. Shlema, Rahi Kasha Tamu. When all the Anshin El Choma finished dying, by Dad Hashem Eli Hoya Hadibu. That is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu restarted his communication with Moshe Rabbeinu. Now this, as Rashi points out, is very difficult, because the Baruch Hu did speak to Moshe before that. And here above Sai is a Yesoi Moksuk, which the Malbim gives us, and that is this. There are two Madrigas of Nehua, Amira and Dibur. Amira is the lower, Dibur is the higher. Now, if you go through Chumash, you will find that the Mishpochel communicate with Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Aaron and other people, all with a lotion of Amira. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Nobi who was zoyched to Dibur. Dibur is a higher Madregis, Peh El Peh. And there is one exception with Yoshua bin Nun. Once there's a Dibur to all others are Amira. Why? Because that was to do with the Dintoyer of Orei Miklot. Visions you can have with a Asplakariot She'enom Mira. But a Devar Toyer, you have to know exactly, that requires the higher form of Podim, which is called Dibur. And that brings me to a very important printing mistake. If you look at Sedra Chukas, you will find, that at the end of Parshas Korach, chapter Yud-Tes, Old Aleph, it says, "Vayoyim Hashem al Aaron, Atuv Necho Veitzovicha," etc. Now on that, says Rashi, "Vayoyim Hashem al Aaron, Lemoisha Omar, Shayoyim al Aaron." It doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Aaron, it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe to tell Aaron. Now this is an awful printing mistake. The printers should have printed this as a Sifri does on Pesuk Chet, because there it says, "Vayadaber Hashem el Aaron." Now that cannot be taken literally, because Aaron was not zoyched to the Madrega of Dibur. So on this, the Sifri says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, but Vayoyim Hashem al Aaron is perfectly alright. Like all other Nevi'im, he was zoyched to a Madrega of Nevuah called Amira. But when the printer saw this on Pesuk Chet, they decided to transfer it to Pesuk Aleph. Now the Ule Omer, Yoyim Shevitul Hoshea Ben Eilo, Kruzdol Yoyis Shehoshev Yerobom Ben Not Ad Hadrofim, Shloyal Yisrael the Reg. Yerobom Ben Nevot, who was crowned the king of the Aseres Hashvotim, he did not want people to be Oile Regal, because then they would switch their allegiance to the Malchus based on it, so he set up roadblocks. And Hoshea ben Ola decided to dismantle these roadblocks. And he, the army said, "La'idah shayirta, Yalu, let people go if they want to, I'm not going to stop them." Now Hoshea ben Ola was not a tzaddik. All it says about him, he wasn't a being a Rosha as his predecessor. His predecessor said no Oile Regal, and Moshe bin Olah said, if they want to, let them go. Rav Nachman Omer, Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beta Mitzvura. That is the day when the people who were murdered by the Romans in Beta on Tisha B'Av were buried, because the Romans murdered all the inhabitants of Beta, so there was nobody to bury them. And they remained unburied for some time. The Omer of Masnoi, Yom Shemitnu Haruge Beta Lekhurot, that day when the Haruge Beta were buried, Tiknu B'Yavne Hatoi V'Hameitim. The Chachomim Yavne decided to add a fourth prophet to Birchas Hamozim, Hatoi V'Hameitim, Hatoi Shaloi Hisrichu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a great toiver to them that their bodies did not decompose. The Hametiv Shenitnu Lekvura, that they were buried, so Lekvura, unfortunately, not everybody was murdered by the Romans and their descendants were going for Lekvura, they were for the special bracha. Rather, Rav Yosef Dama Tavayu, Yoim Shepotku Melichos Eitan Amarachot. Hamisha Osho is the day they stopped cutting wood for the mizbeach. The Tanya, Rabbi Leza, Abba Oima, Mechanisha also Ba'ava Eilach, Toshach Shulchama, after the 15th of Av, the strength of the sun is not at its greatest. V'lo hoyu chosen eitzam aracha, l'fisha einam yaveshin. After that, the wood is not as dry as is required for the mizbeach, so they stopped cutting the wood, and I suppose we will assume they made a seal. Like every devar mitzvah, if you finish learning a masechta, you finish writing the sefer Torah, you celebrate the completion of the mitzvah, and here they celebrated the completion of the mitzvah of cutting wood for the mizbeach. Amar Rav Nashia, the Kovu Loi Yoim Tabar Nadar. That day was called the day when they broke up their axes. Of course, they didn't break them up until the next year, but that was just how they called it, the day when the wood chopping stopped. However, Rabbeinu Gershon, in his Pirshan Borobacha, says a different chapter. He says the celebration was that the time they used to use for cutting wood could now be utilized for Limud HaTorah. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, just think about this. Could you get a greater honor than being told, you are mechuvah to chop wood for the mizbeach? I can't think of a greater kibbutz. And in spite of that, when it came to the end of the wood chopping season, they celebrated the fact we're not chopping wood, and that time which we use for chopping can be used for Talmud Torah. That's the Shat Talmud Torah Kenegat Kulam. Across the road from where I live today, there lives a yid called Rav David Bats. And he told me the following. When he was in the yeshiva in Lisbon, Lomja, I think it was, he told me that only the most senior bochim were given a kibbutz. What was the kibbutz? Master Yoina? Or Seref HaDibras? Shir? No. You know what it was? Sweeping the Beit HaMedrash. That was the kibbutz. And he said the younger bochim couldn't attain that. They're allowed to sweep the backyard. However, because my father was a Lomjerov, so I was allowed to sweep the backyard even before I attained the status of a middle-aged bochim. That is how these Litvaks considered chashivos. That was their chashivos. Now, can you imagine what the chashivos of Kosa Eitim Lamizdeah? But in Kolgret, Talmud Torah to Negev Kulam. Now, of course, we have to try to extract from the Gemara what is the important lesson of Hamisha Osa Ba'ah. Well, the first one we've already said, and that is the importance of Limud HaTorah. The second very important lesson, which applies to us every single day of our lives, is the way they celebrated. The way they celebrated was that every girl celebrated wearing a dress she had borrowed today Shiloh Levanish. And again, they needed Tzvilah today Shiloh Levanish. And this, of course, is one of the most important rules, the rocking of Klal Yisrael, never to do anything, never to say anything, which could possibly cause any person any embarrassment. And in fact, this brings us to this week's Sedra. The first Pasuk in chapter Yud. Bo'ei tahi omar Hashem ilai sol lacha sneilucha et avolim korishoinim. The spook who told me, hew out for yourself two luchas like the first ones, Valei Elai Ha'orah, and go up the mountain, the Osisha Lacha Aroin 8, and he must also make an Aroin 8 in order that the Luchos should have somewhere to be put into. That is the Losh of the Potter. Now let us see what Rashi says. Boy Tahi, the Soif Arboim Yoim, after when the second period of 40 days ended, Nisratuli, as I spoke, decided to accept my plea on Klal Yisrael's behalf, the Omri Solacha, Matakach Yosisolacha Aroim. Now, Niotisi Oroi Tachilo, that I made the Oroi first, Shetisha Oroi Valuka is the Yodi Hechon Edmund. Because otherwise, if I do what I'm told, go up the mountain, and when you come down, you shall make yourself the box, but where will they go in the meantime? So, therefore, Rashi says, although the spoken said, Solaka Valei Yosiso, Moshe decided that, practically speaking, the Yosisolaka Aroin 8 comes first. The Chayyus are clear Tuma. The Rabbi Yisrael must have known Moshe's Tasha. And in Kol Zeh he told him, this is the Seder, so how comes Moshe seems to know better than Rabbi Yisrael and decides, in spite of what I've been told, I'll switch the proceedings around. Then the Osmain the Chayyus, that Moshe Rabbeinu understood perfectly well that Rabbi Yisrael wanted him to first construct the box and then prepare the luchos. So, so why did Rabbi Shem turn the other way around? Rabbi Shem doesn't want Moshe to wait 1 second more than necessary to hear some good news. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu would have told him the Ofisa Lecho Aroin 8 and Sol Lecho Shnei Luchos, the good message, the happy message, as forgiving the Klal Yisrael for the Chet or Evil would be delayed by a second. But Rabbi Shem doesn't want to delay good news even by 1 second. And therefore Rabbi Shalom told him the good news first, Salah Oshnei Yuta Shabonim, and the mechanics of what you put them in, I'll see that can wait. But the good news can't wait. If you've got some good news to tell a person, tell him immediately. That's what the Osnayim the Torah said. It occurred to me that there might be some Agmus Nefesh here also. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu says Voshisha Lecha Aroin 8, he might think it's a coffin for somebody. And Moshe was being said, Chas V'Shalom, somebody's dying. So a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to call the Agmus Nefesh for a split second, so he put it the other way around, in order that Moshe shouldn't have any Agmus Nefesh, and he should hear the good news immediately. The Sidra begins, V'hoyah Eikev Tishmu. And the word Eikev usually means as a reward for. However, as you know, Rashi sometimes brings a drush into his chat, and he says, "Im ha mitzvos hakalos she'odom dosh ve'atevo tishmu." The lightweight mitzvahs, which you tread upon, even those you have to listen to. And I was puzzled. What does Rashi mean? The mitzvahs which we trample on. Have you ever heard of an Erech Chayim trampling on a mitzvah? So the Ramban says that what it means is mishpotim. And why should mishpotim be called mitzvah kalash odom dosh v'atevot? Because the Nochrim also have it. Every civilized country on earth has mishpotim. And therefore, people take it for granted. Well, there'd be chaos without mishpatim. And therefore, they say the mishpatim ha-toyra, well, they're just like any other nation, aren't we? Oh no. We cannot, chas v'sholom, compare, make any comparison between the Mishpatei HaTorah and the civil laws of other nations. All other nations, they have their civilized laws, but they are man-made. Seichel Anushi, we, Lahavdil Elef Havdolos, have Mishpatim, which is the Ratzon HaBoira, the Chokhmah Keil Elyon. And people sometimes don't take it as seriously as they should. Well, law of the Lord, aren't they? No. You can't have this attitude. Now, the Oroch HaShulchan has a very similar chat to this in last week's session. We have the Aseret HaDibros, Shomor Hashem HaShabbos HaKadshoi, Tashet Tzivcho Hashem HaLekecho. So the obvious question is, what Tashet Tzivcho Hashem HaLekecho? We've got Tariyat Mitzvot Tashet Tzivcho Hashem HaLekecho. Why mention it vis-a-vis Shabbos? And Rashi says that this is a reference to Moro. Shom, Som Loichaiko Mishpat, Shom Nisahu. And the same applies to Kabinet of Ichlet Mimacho Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Leitecha. And Rashi says, Afo Tivut Ovo Eid, Nitzavu B'moro. Shinema Shom Som Loichaiko Mishpat. And Rashi says that the Mishpat there was Tivut Ovo Eid. Says the Oroch HaShulchan in your bare tribulation base, the following. Kibud Ovoem is our mitzvot sichum. The Seifel tells you, if it weren't for your parents, you wouldn't be here. Of course you have to respect them. Honor them. And didn't they look after you from the day you were born until the day you could stand on your own two feet? There's nothing more obvious, nothing more logic than respecting your parents. Therefore, the Torah says, no, that's wrong. When we do any mitzvah sichum, whether it's tivud avoeid or whether it's mishpatim, we must remember this is Torah Hashem Tamimo. This is why we keep these mishpatim. It's nothing to do with the seichel enushi. This is one of the Talmud mitzvahs, and that's why we do it. For no other reason but this for the Tzoyn HaBoyim.
Right.